Chapter 1. Mentors in Persistence. Music, Movies, Machines, and Mischief. I was an impulsive kid, and like anything, this impulsivity had its upsides and its downsides. On the positive side, I was continually interested in new mind-expanding, horizon-broadening rabbit holes, the first of those being technology. At age 7, I wanted to find out how everything worked. I recall the day my parents bought a new Magnavox stereo at Corvette's. We listened to the Burt Kempfert Orchestra for 5 days straight. Then I decided I needed to disassemble the unit and enhance the sound. I removed all the electronics from inside the piece of furniture in which the stereo resided and drilled holes in the chassis so the sound had more places to come out of. In my defense, throughout history, successful inventors and explorers have embraced this timeless process of testing, failing, retesting, and more failing. Thomas Edison famously said that he had never actually failed. He had just found 10,000 ways that wouldn't work. And just like Edison, I found many, many ways that didn't work, discovering in the process that there is also a certain amount of pain and suffering one must endure as a result. The suffering, in my case, came from the business end of spankings by frustrated parents. The pain came from a far more unforgiving master, physics. During what I now refer to as my exploration phase, I took apart numerous kitchen appliances, radios, and just about anything else in the house that was plugged into an outlet. The only problems I encountered came when, in my hyper-haste, I forgot to unplug a device from the 110 volts of alternating current pumping through it before beginning disassembly. If she were alive today, my mom would tell you that I frequently experienced serious electric shocks during my wonder years, and after consulting her personal copy of Gray's Anatomy, she became quite certain that during that time in my life, I suffered several auto-electroconvulsive episodes. She would also tell you that at no point did any one of these electric shocks dissuade me from taking apart the next machine I could get my hands on. My desire to know how things worked, to understand why, muted any adolescent misgivings I may have had, and thwarted any attempts she might have made to keep things with plugs out of my reach. Paradoxically, while my quest for deeper understanding drove me to persist on my Edisonian voyage of household discovery, none of that seemed to translate to schoolwork. I should note here that my mom always used to blame those electroconvulsive episodes for my absence from the honor roll. After technology, there were film and music. By first grade, it had become clear to me that my future would be as either a director or a composer. The light bulb went off the moment my dad walked in with a brand new 8mm movie camera. His plan was to document an upcoming family road trip to Yosemite. My plan was to be Hitchcock or Fellini or H.G. Wells. My first motion picture, however, would be more of an homage to Rube Goldberg, best known for cartoons that depict complicated gadgets. I had no actors, no sets, no lighting director. I had my dad's 8mm camera, two rolls of unused Kodak film, fishing line, my Sears Silvertone cord organ, and Tippy, the family cat. I began storyboarding my concept with a genius-level idea of taking coat hangers and constructing a flying harness for Tippy. I attached the fishing line to the harness, affixed the harness to the clothesline, set up the home movie camera on a stack of my mom's cookbooks, and then, at the last minute, I slipped Tippy into the harness. I then carefully pulled the harness with the fishing line. Spielberg will tell you that fishing line is mostly invisible while using 8mm film stock. My